You know, that's one thing I say about Ken. He wants to have a family reunion every year.
And I'm telling you, boy.
It's good because we're getting, my wife is getting it to age.
Life is short.
Yeah, that we may not be around next year this time, so he always has a reunion.
That's really good, brother. Mm-hmm. Brother Ed. Would to God that we'd do more of that.
Yeah.
St. John chapter 4. We ended at verse 30 2 weeks ago. I wasn't able to be here last Sunday. Who would have thought my wife would have a flat tire going the opposite direction of the pastor and he would have to turn around and be her Prince Charming, fix her flat, but I did make it to church and I thank God for that. On this day and time, I'll tell you what, a lot of people, well, I met 3 fire trucks this morning going towards the lake. I'm going to guess someone drowned. I don't know. It may be a fire. It could have been an accident, but it was from the Barron County Volunteer Fire Department. All 3 trucks were en route with lights flashing, heading in the direction of the lake. And I'm just going to guess someone thought that Sunday was fun day. Maybe they lost their life or got injured. I don't know. But I also met a lot of boats. A lot of boats going that way. I don't think God takes that very lightly.
No, you don't.
But we finished, I think, verse 30 was the last verse we read, I believe, the last time that we had Sunday school. And I apologize for not being here last Sunday. But we'll pick up right there and I'll start with verse 30. Now Jesus has just convinced this woman that he's not just a Jew. He has not just convinced her he's not just a Jew. He's convinced her she needs what he's offering her. And he offers this woman living water. And she says, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not again." And he's glad to give it to her. But he says, "Go call your husband and come hither." He knows that she's got a secret sin. And she kind of picks up on that statement and she says, "Sir, I have no husband." And Jesus answered her even more to that effect. And he says, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband." I'm in verse 17. "For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that saidest thou truly." He didn't call her a liar when she said, "I have no husband." He just said she wasn't altogether true. She's telling a little bit of false news here. But anyway, he's privy to her life, her sins, her realizing that. She kind of changes the direction of the conversation and she starts talking kind of spiritually there in verse 19. And the woman says, "Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain." She's got a little bit of spirituality. And she's kind of trying to talk the talk. And she goes on to say, "You say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship." And he just kind of cuts it off pretty quick right here. In verse 21, he says, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." He says, "You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." And he goes on down here, "But the hour come now is when the true worshipers," and that's real important. A lot of people worship, they don't know what.
Right.
But true worshipers know who and what they worship. And he's convincing this woman that she's in error when it comes to worshiping. And she's in error when it comes about this living water. And he's really making it clear for her to understand that without that, she's always going to have a thirst. A lot of people, I see them thirst for this. They thirst for that. They're never satisfied. But I will say this, April 27th, 1988, I not only was saved, I was satisfied.
Amen.
I didn't thirst for the things that I had thirsted for before. I got rid of them. And I'll tell you what, buddy, not only was my thirst satisfied, but my need to be saved was satisfied. I'm complete now in Him.
Right.
And without that completeness, people are wandering around. They try this, they try that, take a hit on this, take a drink of this. Who knows about her or him or whatever. And it just goes on and on and on. But Jesus came to seek and save those that are lost. He's found this lost woman. He not only found her, He's winning her. And He goes on verse 24 and says, God is a spirit.
Right.
A lot of people don't even know that.
That's right.
And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Pilate said, what is truth? He's looking truth right in the face. Don't even know it. But most people are just like Pilate. They don't know the truth. John 17:17. For those that don't know the truth, Jesus said, thy word is truth.
Amen.
He said, I am the truth. Also, John 14:6. But he talks about truth being involved in worship. A lot of people, Paul said, they ignorantly worship. He mentioned that in Acts chapter 17. When he was on Mars Hill, he said they had an image made there, some kind of God thing there to the unknown God. He said, whom you ignorantly worship. A lot of people fit that mold. But the woman said in him, verse 25, I know that Messiah's coming. She had been told that one was going to come. That's good. She really now is right where He wanted her in all these preceding verses. The woman saith unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. She don't know she's talking to Christ,
no.
But she knows He's coming. She says, when He's come, He'll tell us all things. And Jesus pulled the veil back and said unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. Now that's good. And the disciples show up. I'm going to leave off the rest of this. We'll get back to verse 30. I do need to read because I can't just start in verse 30.
Yeah.
Upon this came His disciples, marveled that He talked with a woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Verse 28 is a key verse. That's why I back up. The woman then left her water pot. Now, she had bought that to get some water from Jacob's well.
Yep.
She don't have no water. Now, she don't have no water pot, but she don't have no thirst neither. And she's leaving now satisfied, saved, and she went her way into the city, and now, buddy, she's a witness for Him. And she said to the men, and I'm going to say she is pretty persuasive,
because
they knew her reputation. They knew this woman, her life pretty much was an open book. And I'm going to say some of these men knew that personally. But she says to the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? I have to admit, when I came to church, and even though the preacher said it, even though he's reading from the Bible, even though he's preaching, the Bible itself says God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Man.
As he's preaching, not knowing, I'm sure he knew I was lost and a sinner, but he pretty much told me all things that I ever did, and my first thought was my wife has told him everything I've ever done.
Right.
Then I thought, who does he think he is telling me all the things that I ever did? Because some of them I did with him. But I'll just tell you this, God will reveal unto you that He knows everything you ever did. If you're in church very long, you'll know that to be true. And she's convinced this whole city. So verse 30 is where we're starting at. Then they went out of the city and came unto Him. Jesus won this woman, and she brought the whole town down.
Yeah.
What a revival. In the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying, Master, eat. There's good Baptists. All they was thinking about was fried chicken, cornbread, and good stuff like that. But Jesus here, He's really not got His mind on worldly, physical things. And He says unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Now that's a very spiritual comment. He's saying, I'm not interested in sitting down at the table. I'm interested in winning souls. She brought the town to me.
That's right.
And here with this multitude, the disciples might not have been focused. They might have been mind somewhere else. But their motive was right. They just cared about Him. They said, Master, eat. And He just kind of let them know that He had other fish to fry here. And He says, therefore, He says to them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought Him out to eat? They didn't understand the statement. A lot of people don't understand the things of God. Let me stop real quick right there. You know, I knew of God.
Yeah.
But I didn't know God.
Right.
Brother Ed. I knew of Him. I had somewhat of an opinion of God. I think everybody does. I knew He loved me. All I'd ever heard about was the love of God. I'll be preaching today a little bit about the judgment of God, that part of God the world doesn't really know much about.
No.
But these disciples here, they're kind of in that predicament. They thought maybe He'd already eat. But it wasn't that kind of thing He's talking about here when He says, I have meat to eat, you know not. He wasn't hungry. I'm telling you, God can help you with hunger if you understand there are some things more important than sitting down to a meal and eat.
Yeah.
And He said, I've got something more important, pretty much is what He says there. I have meat to eat, you know not of. He said, I've got something more important than sitting down to a meal. I love sitting down to a good meal. I certainly wouldn't discredit how much I enjoy. I'm glad that God didn't make us where He didn't just make us where we got to eat. He made us where we could enjoy it.
Hey,
can you imagine that you have to eat to live?
Yeah. No.
But you didn't enjoy what you was eating. I mean, I eat my old dog. Sometimes they don't like the dog food I buy it, and in simple protest, they just take its nose and push it out of the tray, letting me know it don't really want to eat it. But God didn't just make us where we had to eat, and it's important that He did. And I'll tell you why. That makes us depend upon God for our needs.
Amen.
See, He don't just make us what we have to eat, Brother Ed. He provides the things that we need to eat.
Amen.
He calls the sun to shine. He calls it to rain on the just, on the unjust. The Bible said He's kind to the unthankful and to the evil. I mean, people that don't bow their head and say, Lord, thank You for this food. Thank You for this food. Thank You for the health. Thank You for an appetite. They don't do that.
No.
But He still gives it to them.
Amen.
And He made it where we have to eat, but He also made it where we enjoy what we eat and we don't even thank Him for it. But a lot of people are unthankful. But He says, I don't need to eat, boys. I'm busy. Pretty much what He says there. And they really kind of didn't get the hint. So they're over there murmuring. Therefore said the disciples one to other, is He still a Baptist? They said, if any man brought Him out to eat, Jesus here, He just kind of cut the chase there in verse 34. He says unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. He said, boys, I'm about my Father's business. Right now it ain't about eating. There'll be plenty of time to eat.
Yeah.
And I do believe everything ought to be done in the time. You know, I'm about like everybody else. I did text on the way to church over here. Donnie's phone quit working. I was trying to get a word to him, so I texted him. I told him to go buy him a 99-cent flip phone because his smartphone wouldn't work. And I'd hear one word and his phone would shut down.
Yeah.
And I'd hear another word and his phone would shut down. Finally, I got about three words out of him. He said, I'm throwing this phone at the woman. I said, I wonder why I seen so many of them laying on the side of the road.
Yeah,
but anyway, Jesus here, He says He's about His Father's business. And He said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white, already to harvest. Even driving to church this morning, I was looking at the houses that I have a longing to visit. It's important that we go out and compel them to come in.
Yes.
God's house might be filled. We haven't done much visitation since I've been here, but I've got a longing to do it. It needs to be done right. It needs to be done carefully and prayerfully. I don't like to miss opportunities, but I have to admit, that first house going back towards the main highway, that first house on the left, that little bitty gray cottage house right there, I noticed a woman with white hair on her head at the back porch throwing the dishwater out. That's one place I'd like to stop. I don't even know her name, but I saw that white hair. He's talking here about seasons. He says there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. He's kind of making a comment to seasons. It looked to me like she's in the winter season. The white hair on her head would be a good one to follow up and visit with. Mm-hmm. He says, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. They're white. Her hair was white. He said, already the harvest. She may be a good Christian woman. Maybe wanting to go to church. I'd like to invite her to this, and I believe it'd be a good one for her to visit. She's not that far away.
Right.
But Jesus here, His mind's on souls, not on food. Verse 36, He says, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. The Bible said there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents, over 99 just persons that have no need of repentance. There's joy in heaven over souls that are one to God. There's sorrow, I believe, over those that are missed. And Jesus here, He's using worldly terms to explain spiritual mysteries here. And He talks about sowing. He talks about harvesting and gathering. Talks about rejoicing. In that verse 36, verse 37, He says, and herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. There's a lot of work going on even right now that we don't even know about.
Yeah.
A lot of that missionary they brought home from Turkey, no telling how much good he done over there and suffered for it. They put him in prison.
Right.
He endured it. They said there's more missionaries and more churches in China right now than there's ever been. Someone has labored. Someone has sowed. The crop's getting good in China. Boy, that's encouraging. That communist country that hates Christ, hates the Bible, hates churches, and they're prospering and growing. And John the Baptist may have got his head cut off, but he got it cut off for the right reason. I seen on the news this morning they found a headless corpse. About 3 weeks later they found a bodiless head, and they thought they might maybe go to one another. I don't know if they did or not. It was in California. There ain't no tellers down there. But John got his head cut off for the right reason. I don't know why they got their head cut off. It could have been this or that. I just know they found a headless corpse. And it said about 3 weeks later, they found a bodiless head. It's sad. But he said in verse 38, about laboring. And I guess we're getting lazy when it comes to laboring, but we need to work while it's day. We need to redeem the times. We need to understand
right. That
we have opportunity. I keep a track in my pocket. I've got one here for the lost. And I got one here for the Muslims, which are the worst of the lost. I'd rather be a sinner than be religiously lost.
Yeah.
Really would. That's the worst kind of being lost that there is. because someone that's religiously lost has to denounce what they believed to receive something else. Someone that's just plain old lost, they've not received nothing.
Right.
And at least you can get good seed in before someone sows a corruptible seed in there. Verse 39 says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, 'He told me all that I ever did.'" Can you imagine this? This woman's testifying for Jesus. She's a testimony of the saving grace of God. You know, all of us are to some degree a testimony. But her testimony, you know, she come out of sin, probably known in the whole town.
Yeah.
And for them to see that God could forgive her and save her probably gave them hope that maybe their little pet sins could be forgiven also. But here she is with great sin. Now she's got great salvation, and her testimony to them is, "Come see a man which testified and told me all that I ever did."
Yeah.
So when the Samaritans were come to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. So she was the door to the, or maybe the key to the city, and he was there now 2 days. It says, verse 41, "And many more believed because of his own word." So he's there. I don't know if he's eating anything yet or not, but I'll tell you one thing. He's doing the work that his father gave him to finish. In verse 34, he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." He's working 2 days in this Samaritan city because he won a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 41 said, "Many more." Now there's no number given there, but many more believed because of his own word. There, you know, if I told you something, Brother Ed, and you went and told someone else, that'd be second hand.
Right.
If they went and told someone else, it'd be third and fourth and fifth hand. They're getting first hand what Jesus is saying.
Amen. That's right.
Verse 42 said, "And said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we've heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Now, Samaria has light now. The Samaritan city. They were Jewish half-breeds. They were hated by the Jews. Says, "Now after 2 days, he departed thence." Excuse me. "And went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country." Now, just so you'll understand that statement right there, your son's name's Tim,
yeah.
Brother Ed. And in most cases, this is true. He'll come more likely to hear someone else than you.
Yeah.
My son?
Yeah.
I don't know. But if a stranger talks to my son, it has more weight or more appeal to him than getting something from me.
Yeah.
And I really don't profit much trying to tell him how to do things.
Here.
I got one in my pocket. Thank you. He'll go online. He'll go to this one. He'll go to that one.
Yeah.
But Jesus, here when he makes this statement, a prophet's not without honor save in his own country or in his own house. He's just saying there's a reason that they listen to strangers, because that's something new to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no honor in his own country. And the other place talks about his own house. But, you know, you can win a stranger easier than you win your own family.
Amen.
Too.
That's right.
So remember that when it comes to soul winning. And Jesus, this statement he makes, it don't just apply to him, it applies to you and me. I'm telling you, you find a stranger and you'll have more effect upon them than if you sit down and talk to your own family. You right. See what I mean?
That's right.
Verse 45 says, "Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast." You see, a lot of people, they call Jesus, and he was called Jesus of Nazareth, but he wasn't born in Nazarene. He was born in Bethlehem.
Yeah.
And then the angel told Joseph to take Mary, the young child, to Egypt because of Herod, which they had the first abortion back then, kill all the children from 2 years old and down. But as he come up from Egypt, he abode in a Nazareth, and for that reason he was called a Nazarene.
Yeah.
It wasn't that he was born in Nazareth, he was called a Nazarene because that's where they occupied when he came up out of Egypt. He was born in Bethlehem.
You want me to get you a small bottle?
No, actually it's okay. You see, Nathanael said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" I believe, or maybe he said Galilee. But anyway, a lot of people don't even have it clear in their mind where Jesus was born.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a stumbling block. So here Jesus is here in Galilee. And they receive him. They're glad that he come to them. And their testimony is that they'd seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went to the feast, so they had saw firsthand him doing some of the works that he did. They're glad that he's there. They got things they wanted to do for them. So here he is, and they're glad to have him. Verse 46, "So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum." Now he's already done some works here, and one of them was changing the water to wine at the wedding feast there. But it says there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum, and when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Jesus here has an opportunity again to show who he is, to show what he can do because of who he is, because he has all power. And you know, he's winning people. They're believing on him. They're receiving him. And this man comes to him, and this man really, he only cares about his son. And it just sort of seems like at verse 48, Jesus kind of gently rebukes him. "Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." This man has just a little bit of problem believing. And Jesus says, you know, except you see something, you ain't going to believe. See, faith is not seeing. Faith is believing on things not seen.
Amen.
And he says, you know, you're hurting in the area of faith. And he says, except you see, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, "Sir, come down ere my child die." He's still dwelling on the problem, not the solution. I don't know if you understand this or not.
Yes.
But he sees the solution. Jesus is kind of hinting at his problem about being lacking in believing, and the cure is there, the help is there, but he's just dwelling on his child at the point of death. And we get like that sometimes. We forget we forget our options. We forget to pray. We forget to bring our problems to God. I think sometimes I think problems are there just to bring us to God.
Yeah.
Well, in this case, if it's true, this man's problems brought him to Jesus. Good morning, Sister Sharon. And he says to Jesus in verse 49, "Come, sir, come down ere my child die." Jesus saith unto him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." That's pretty simple.
Yep.
And you know, it was simple. The Bible talks about many have done harm to the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. Jesus made a comment how simple it was to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And he's speaking about Calvary, the cross, where the Son of God became the Lamb of God to give His life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. But that reference he's making out of Numbers 21 was pretty simple. If you got bit, look and live.
Right.
And everybody that looked at that brazen serpent on that pole, if they looked, they lived. It's simple. All that looked to Him shall be saved, and all that looked to Him shall receive help that they looked to Him for. It's simple. I'm trying to put it in easy terms here. But shall He appear a second time without sin unto salvation? Hebrews talks about as many as look unto Him shall He appear a second time without sin unto salvation. But it's simple. Jesus gave him a simple answer.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was expecting. He said, "Come down ere my son die." And Jesus don't come down. Jesus just says to him, "Go thy way. Thy son liveth." The Bible said the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Now that's what made the difference. Not only did Jesus speak healing concerning his son, but the man believed the word that Jesus spake concerning his son. Verse 51 is going to tell the conclusion of that faith to believe what Jesus said. Verse 51 said, "As he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth." Wouldn't that be good if we could just take God at his word?
Yeah.
Now y'all, I know y'all ain't getting this because I ain't really getting it. But, you know, there's lots of time I'm down praying. And I take God at His word. I quote Scripture. I don't know about y'all, but I quote Scripture while I pray. I take God at His word. I say, "Lord, Your word says, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me." And I'm taking not only God's word, but I'm letting Him know that I'm believing His word. And God honors that kind of faith. The Bible tells you in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not only does it increase my faith when I read the Bible, but it gives me faith, a platform to approach God on and say, "God, You said this, I believe it." And the Bible said, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. So in faith, taking His word, I bring my petition and say, "God, would You grant this?" Because all you got to do is just speak, "Granted, it's done." I'm telling you, this man here is really showing just how simple it is. He believed the word of Jesus. He went his way, and God sent his servants to him and said, "Your son's alive. He's doing good." I'm just telling you, it's pretty simple.
Right.
The world, I'll tell you right now, they'll go any way but God's way. Mm-hmm. They'll listen to anyone but God.
Yeah.
I heard it's really kind of a joke. My pastor was telling this. I never forgot it because it told a good truth. Said a woman had a terminal illness, and she was pretty wealthy, I reckon. And she went to this doctor, and they tried this, they tried that. They tried this procedure and that procedure and this operation and that operation, this treatment and that treatment. And she was kind of like that woman with the issue of blood. She wasn't getting nothing better. Rather grew worse, suffered many things because of many physicians. But he called her in his office and he said, "I want you to sit down." And she sat down and he said, "Ma'am, we've tried this, we've tried that, we're running out of resources." And he said, "I only know one thing left to do." And she braced herself, "What is it?" And he said, "We need to pray." And she said, "Oh my God, has it come to that?" But you know what? Her answer speaks volumes about the worldly carnality of people. They don't want to hear that God is a very present help in time of trouble. They don't want to hear, call upon me in the day of trouble and I'll show you great mighty things.
Yeah.
You know not. They don't want to hear, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke's easy, my burden's light. They don't want to hear that. They'll go anywhere but to God. They'll try this remedy. And I see them, making them faces. And it don't help. And they'll go to the psychiatrist. He's crazy enough without you going to him. They'll try this, they'll try that. And it's all to no avail. I told y'all this. I done the funeral last Sunday of my aunt, Marty Matthews, and boy, she was a real blessing. She never really had very good health. But her husband, Dole, when I first got saved, and that was 30 years ago, I fasted and prayed for her husband. He had terminal cancer. He smoked cigars and cigarettes and everything else. Hey, Carolyn.
Hey.
How you doing, girl?
All right.
I prayed and fasted for her husband, Dole, and as I was mowing the yard, he just come across to me that I ordered to go over there and see him, so I got off the lawnmower, got in my car, and drove into town. At that time, they lived over on Walnut Street, right off of Happy Valley, and he's standing there in the front yard talking with his neighbor. And I got out and I said, Dole, I've been praying for you. And I said, I believe the Lord can help you if you'll bring your situation to him. And Dole's neighbor said, this young man's telling you right, Dole, you need to listen to him. What my Uncle Dole said that day haunts me to this day. He said, no, they come out with a new pill, and I'm trusting in that new pill. I was his pallbearer within a month of him making that statement. So much for the new pill. You need to be cautious about what you put your trust in.
Right.
The Bible said it's vain to put your trust in man. It says put your trust in the Lord.
Right.
Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. God will lead you the right way.
Right.
He will help you. He will heal you.
Yes.
He will come to you.
Right.
He said, John 14, verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you.
Right.
Does anybody remember when doctors made house calls?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Dr. Benjamin Franklin, not Benjamin Franklin, I ain't that old. Franklin McKinney. That was a joke. Yeah, Franklin McKinney, Dr. Franklin McKinney used to come to my house. He'd feel my forehead, check my temperature, maybe give me a little castor oil or something, you know, something to kind of clean you out. I don't know. I remember him coming to my house. Well, God will come to your house.
That's right.
You can call upon him any hour of the day. He's never too busy to hear your prayer.
Right.
But this man, he believed what Jesus said. Jesus said, go your way. Thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then he inquired of them the hour which he began to amend or get better. And they said unto him, yesterday. Now, if they're saying yesterday, how long has this man been going?
Yeah.
Jesus says, go thy way, thy son liveth. And they said unto him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. Might get that on the slow train. He's been walking for a day now.
Yeah,
in faith, walking for a day. Morning, Brother Jerry.
Morning.
Then, verse 53, so the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and he himself believed, and his whole house. Again, this is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Now, there's a whole lot in that little old short list of verses there.
Yeah.
I really like this. Yes, he inquired of them the hour which he began to amend or get better, and they said unto him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. That's kind of really good that this man is still walking in faith, still believing
yeah.
the word that Jesus said, your son lives, go your way. It wasn't like he would come running home and say, how's he doing?
That's
he
right.
just said, okay, that's what you say. I'm going to take
it.
I'm going with it.
That's
and
right.
the servants caught up with him and said, your son living, you're doing great. And he said, when? And they said, yesterday about the seventh hour. I'll stop it right there. But, oh my, there's just so much to this blessed book. I love it. It'll help anybody that'll spend any time in it at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been spread beyond measure this week. God already knows my situation. You will for this day's over with. I didn't really have time to prepare anything. But I'm glad little with God is much.
Amen.
Nothing with God is all you need. Right. Nothing plus God is everything.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Has anybody